Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio. I'm Scott McNally, and today we have with us IFBB Pro Stan McQuay. Stan had been a very successful personal trainer through his life as a bodybuilder. He's moved on mostly from that now, but I wanted to get perspectives on somebody who's had a lot of success in the world of personal training. So who better to go to than a guy who's been training? Like my thought is this, Stan, is that, you know, I get this thought in my head, I'm going to become a personal trainer. What's the end goal there? I want to be living in Southern California, working on becoming a pro bodybuilder myself. I feel like that's the top end dream. You know what I mean? And so who better than you to have on? So thank you very much for joining us. And I'm really looking forward to hearing some insights from you today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on here and kind of share whatever knowledge and advice I might have for everyone out there.
Right on. So before we get into that, I have to first say congratulations on the conclusion of your competitive career in bodybuilding. We caught up with you last season, and last season was your retirement season. Like, tell us a little bit about how the season went.
Yeah, I mean, I had initially been planning kind of like an official retirement, you know, so to speak, from, you know, competitive bodybuilding. And that was to happen in like 2015, but things didn't really go as planned. You know, I think I took a sixth at show in Chicago, and then a fifth in Vancouver.
Okay.
And which is still respectable, you know, for anybody, you know, even for myself, but it's not how I wanted to go out. You know, obviously I wanted to go out with a win and
sure,
maybe even a qualification for the Olympia. But, you know, I had discussed things with my family, and I decided that, you know, at the time before that, I was going to retire. But mentally, as a competitive athlete, you know, it didn't sit with me right. So the following year, after speaking, you know, with Dave Kalick, which was a coach that I've been working with since my pro debut, and my training partner, Ronnie Camacho, we decided, you know, let's just give it one more shot and we'll really commit and we'll keep it going. So the following year, I picked two shows. I picked a show here in Long Beach, which was the Legion. And this is for Classic Physique division, by the way. And it didn't do so well there. But, you know, we went on to the Dominican Republic, and that was my final show, and which I won. So after placing first there, I qualified for the Olympia. But in my mind, you know, I just couldn't have a better ending than that. So we just kind of ended it on that, and I have no regrets and no return to competitive bodybuilding for me.
Hell yeah, man. It's so rare, too, for a bodybuilder to be able to go out on top like that. You know, so often it's like we look at guys who just, they love competing. They love the sport. And it so often it becomes a situation where somebody has to tell them, like, listen, man, it might be your time. You know, you've been placing, you know, you haven't been able to, say, crack the top 10 in the last three seasons or four seasons or whatever. That was not the case here at all, man. It couldn't have been a cooler story, honestly, to see you go out on top like that.
Yeah.
But I got to ask, man, did it feel tempting to come back and do the Olympia? Because you were qualified. Just to get up there.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, you know, especially when everyone's getting in my ear saying, are you crazy? You got an Olympic qualification. But,
right,
you know, for me, like, you know, not to say I took it for granted, but I've already been there four times. And, you know, in competitive bodybuilding in any sport, you know, to be at the top, I think you need to be somewhat rational as well to realize, okay, if I do that Olympia, you know, what are my chances of actually winning? And, you know, not to say you should ever doubt yourself, but, you know, this is where I'm talking about the rationalization of, can I really win the Olympia this year? Am I really going to commit my body at this age to keep pushing when, in my mind, first of all, I had already told myself I wanted to retire, and I'm already on this, like, crazy high with that win.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, knowing that I had that Olympia ticket in my back pocket, I mean, that to me was just cool enough, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the temptation was there, but it definitely was not strong enough to overcome, you know, the 23 years of me doing this process. I'm over it.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. And I think, you know, like you said, you know, this is coming from like a really logical viewpoint, and you're using your head. And I feel like you're a guy who has used your head through the course of your entire career in bodybuilding, be it either on stage, the decisions you made, the different divisions that you've been able to be successful in, to what you've done outside of the gym, outside of your own training, because you're a guy who's been able to be successful in life because of bodybuilding. And that's not just on stage. That's, you know, financially being able to build a life for yourself. That's the big thing I really wanted to talk about today, man. I wanted to talk first about personal training. Would you say that personal training is really where your foundation of making a living through the sport?
I'd say, you know, nowadays, you know, everyone calls it online coaching, but yeah, essentially, you know, personal training, that was the main source of income that I've been able to monetize, you know, directly from bodybuilding. And I kind of fell into personal training. It definitely wasn't something that I had ever thought of doing or, you know, thrive to be. It's just, you know, I look at it, you know, under circumstances of, you know, financial issues and whatnot, me being in the gym and trying to get ready for competitions, it all kind of just fell into place, you know.
No kidding.
And, you know, I had great opportunities, and I got offered to, you know, really kind of start up my own business as opposed to, you know, working for a gym. And, you know, I just kind of took off from there. And so they both went hand in hand. You know, I think at the time of, you know, when I was starting to compete, I had a lot of notoriety with the magazines and on TV. So that really, like, from the start, my business just took off. You know, and I remember for the first 5 years, you know, at being 25, 26 years old, I was making six figures, no problem.
Wow.
Cash. And that had nothing to do with, you know, my bodybuilding sponsorships and whatnot. So, you know, the money was great. I didn't really, you know, pursue any other career. I just kind of fell into this. And, you know, after almost 30 years of training clients, and now it's evolved into, you know, what everyone calls coaching. You know, but it's essentially the same thing, just not one-on-one, you know?
Yeah. No, and absolutely. I mean, I know, you know, we talked off air and talking to Dave, I know too, you don't do personal training, you know, in the gym anymore like you used to. Now everything is through Physique Inc. and that you coach people for contests, all the nutrition side, the posing side, all the elements of competing and just getting into shape. You know, but to think about what you've done, it sounds like you were given some great opportunities. I have to think, though, there was a reason that people kept training with you. You had to be good at what you did as a personal trainer in the gym. Otherwise, man, you know, people, you'd build a bad reputation just as fast as you could build a good one. What do you think it was about the work you did in training that that made people want to keep coming back and keep working with you?
Well, I think it's a lot of things that make a good personal trainer. First and foremost, I mean, why do people come to you? You know, a lot of people are either they see me in the magazines or they see me in the gym. And essentially what I say is I'm a walking billboard for my business. So being a competitive bodybuilder and always really being in shape, because I also did tons of modeling for all the magazines and whatnot. So I was in shape year round. So, I mean, me walking around the gym, everyone was always intrigued or wanted to know what I was doing, or they saw how I was running my business. So you see my clients and you've seen the biggest, you know, these big transformations and whatnot. I think part of it was that. The other part was the type of clientele that I had. You know, a lot of people see, you know, training competitors, that's kind of an extreme transformation for somebody to go through. So,
Sure. You
know, to see somebody, you know, the average person will see me take a client after 16 weeks and go, what the hell did you do to this person? That's amazing. You know,
yeah.
You know, they're not fully understanding what it really takes, but just to see the dramatic change that draws a lot of people in. So a little of that. And then it's just a lot of networking, you know. When I'm in the gym, you know, I'm talking to everybody, I'm helping everybody I can. You know, offering free advice. I'm training with people, just really just spreading the love in the gym and making people feel uncomfortable, as opposed to, you know, walking around the gym trying to be all macho and throwing weights around. You know, I always, you know, yes, I was a bodybuilder, but, you know, business came first for me. And that didn't just come with, you know, trying to look good, but, you know, running business and making sure I look professional at all times when I'm in the gym.
Yeah, that makes total sense, man. You know, and I imagine that means that early on, you know, when personal training was your prime focus, you had to be in the gym a long time. I mean, how many hours a day are we talking on an average day? Because you had to grind, I imagine, to build that up and make the money you were making at a young age.
Yeah, it was like for years. You know, once I became more comfortable, it's easier to set your own hours running your own business. And, you know, I've done the 4 a.m., the 5 a.m. clients, and I learned early out that that's just not for me. It wasn't fair to my clients because I just wasn't all there at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money you paid me. If I'm, you know, if I'm not, I'm not fully awake, you're not getting a good session. So
yeah.
But when it came down to it, you know, for the most part, I ran my business, you know, like kind of like a little longer than normal business hours. I would train clients from 8 a.m. until 11. Okay. And I would either do one-on-ones. I would never put more than three people on a session. And then I would take off, and then I would literally hop in my car at about 11, eat my first meal, and I would drive all the way across town, which is about an hour away, to train at Gold's Gym in Venice. And I trained with Charles Glass for, you know, most of my career as a pro. I would train with him from 12 to 1, literally run back to my car, eat my post-workout meal, and then come right back to work and be back here by 2. And then I would work like a 2-to-8 shift. So I don't know how many hours that was, but it's, you know, it's a full day of being in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, but I you know, we have our ups and downs, and the great thing about, you know, running your own business, if I start getting burned out, I just, I lower my hours, and I'm not going to worry about, you know, losing my job or whatnot. I just, you take a little bit of a sacrifice by losing some clients at the time, but, you know, ultimately money's not everything. You still got to be happy when you're going to the gym and train people.
That makes sense. You know, we had a chance to talk to Doug Fruché, who trains out there. He's a trainer at Gold's Gym, and he had said that, you know, his clients are very understanding too. You build a relationship with these people. So it is a great job for bodybuilders, because when you do start to get tired at the end, you can dial your schedule back a little bit, and your clients tend to understand, you know, because they're there to support you too, you know, once you've built a relationship with them, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, been very fortunate. Every one of my clients for the most part, when I'm getting ready for a show, they all come and, you know, they all have their back, and, you know, they feel like they're in the trenches in there with you as well.
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing I know that we talked a little bit about on the last episode that we recorded together, people told me they wanted to hear more about it, and this would be a perfect fit. How did you get into training with celebrities? Like, first of all, throw out some of the names of people that you've trained with, between, you know, people in Hollywood and people in music and stuff.
Yeah. How I fell into it, it's, you know, it's right place, right time. I live in the right market. I live in Southern California. So, you know, at the time, this is like my first celebrity clients were in the late 90s, early 2000s. And that's when the movie business in here in Hollywood was really big, in the sense that they're filmed everything here. They don't film a lot of movies here in LA anymore because of the taxes.
Oh, no kidding.
A lot of movies now are filmed. Yeah, a lot of movies are filmed in Atlanta, New Mexico, other states that really give them a huge tax break. So a lot of those celebrities aren't filming movies here. But regardless, all the celebrities are here, and it is right place, right time. And, you know, like some of the clients that I had the fortune of working with are guys like Dr. Dre, 50 Cent, Gerard Butler, Vin Diesel.
No kidding.
George St. Pierre. You know, the list goes on. A ton of Dodgers, a couple football players. So, you know, it's really been a great business for me in the aspect of, you know, like I said, it's right place, right time, and a little bit of, you know, my knowledge and a little bit of just, you know, me having the gift of gab with some of these people, and they getting them to feel comfortable to be around me.
Yeah. Was that ever, did that ever like stress you out or make you feel intimidated training with anybody who had these big names? Like, you really had to deliver, be a great trainer type thing.
Absolutely. There's a lot of pressure, believe it or not, working with some of these celebrities. You know, a lot of them will have a deadline. You know, they'll say, you know, hey, I have to be ready for this role. Huh. I have to have my shirt off or whatever. And, you know, they come to you and they're just like not in shape at all. They're not even working out. And then they'll say, I have eight weeks to for this scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have production managers calling to check in. How's he doing? Is it this and that? And, you know, or when you get the client there, it's like they're so not used to that type of training, but they have to do it. But yeah, aside of the pressure of me having to have them ready, yeah, some of these clients like were pretty intimidating to be around. Like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, Dr. Dre for the first half a year, it was like, yeah, it was kind of nerve wracking being around him, because he's just really like an intense guy, you know what I mean? And really quiet, and you know, you can see why he's at the top where he's at. He's just a different person. Or, you know, working with someone like Vin, where it was like, you know, Vin came from a bodybuilding background, but, you know, he's kind of like been living the Hollywood lifestyle. So to get someone like that to actually show up to the session.
Yeah.
When you're doing the session, to keep doing his exercises. And, you know, like, I'm not a drill sergeant type trainer.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, for me to have to ask them, like, okay, do your set over and over and over again, 4, 5, 6 times. It's like, okay, what am I? I'm like yelling at Vin Diesel right now. You know? it's uncomfortable, but that's kind of what you're getting paid for. And we get paid, really good money for some of these guys.
That's pretty cool, man. Plus, it's got to be just interesting. It makes your day, I'm sure, a lot of fun. Kind of a timely thing here. Golden Globe Awards just happened. And that Ricky how do you say his name?
Gervais,
Gervais. That's it. Yeah. I don't follow any of this stuff. Like, I don't follow movies. I'm terrible with names. I know who Vin Diesel was. Of course, I know who Dr. Dre is. Okay, but yeah, Ricky Gervais. He made this statement saying that that there's no good acting anymore. It's just guys that are playing in these Marvel movies that are going to the gym, getting jacked up on steroids, and then getting on stage. Can you comment on his take on Hollywood right now?
Well, I remember hearing the comment and kind of chuckled a little bit, and then at the same time, it's like, okay, why is he got to say steroids and whatnot?
Yeah.
But I mean, you got to kind of look at the times too, with technology and the way, movies have changed. Everything's digital and everything's so enhanced and everything is so extreme nowadays because of that. I think a lot of that, a lot of the movies are just taking it over the top. Hmm. And not just with the graphic editing, but even like the characters, like absolutely. Right now, comic book movies are hot right now. They're breaking all the records, and the superhero looks like they're built, and most actors are not built. So, what he says is actually true. A good majority of these actors, when you see them in shape, I mean, I can almost guarantee you they're on something.
Yeah, I would assume so, especially there's I think so much nowadays people want the shortcut. And I have to imagine that actors have the accessibility to anything that they want to get. And if it's for the role, there's be a lot of easy justification in there. I could imagine. So I also imagine, man, just the personalities too have to be big in at times. I just imagine it would be difficult or to be around some of these people at times.
Well, it's funny, like some people you would think that just because of like the roles that they play in movies. But then when you meet them, you're like, oh, wait a second, it is just a movie, like I'd say most of the guys, you meet them Gerard Butler is.
Yes.
And yeah. Gerard Butler, he's played movies like, 300, and, he's played a tough guy role. And you meet him, you're like, oh, man, this guy's just like, one of us, man. He's like way cool, and it's not intimidating at all. He's more intimidated of you than anything. So, it's pretty fun.
Right on. Hey, what's going on, guys? I wanted to take just a really brief pause here to shout out our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com. So first of all, I'll say thank you for not fast forwarding through the ad. And second of all, thank you, True Nutrition, for helping to pay our bills here and to keep the lights on so we can keep making these great podcasts for everybody. All right, guys. So here's the deal. I went to TrueNutrition.com just now and I typed in protein into the search field just to see how many hits I came back with. There's like 30, 40 different hits that come back. And that's not including the blends. That's just the proteins themselves, everything from hydrolyzed casein to hydrolyzed whey to New Zealand grass-fed to your basic like concentrate type to various different vegan proteins, from rice protein to pumpkin protein, pea protein isolate, all sorts of options out there. They even have now, and I don't think I could do this one, they even have a product called Cricket Plus. You ever hear of Cricket Protein? Whew. I don't know if I could do that. I have tried it in a bar once. I think it's just like the mental connection, that idea. Now, I know that Dante has said that if you really wanted to be careful with our environment, that it takes like less power and less facilities to raise crickets than any other protein source on the planet. So, it could be our future. You could be saving the world by using cricket protein. But if you do, God bless you. And I'm going to keep using my whey isolate. All right, guys. One more note I'll say is that these guys are all third-party tested, meaning that Dante and the crew, they want to bring the best quality products they can to you. Basically, by selling you a product, they are giving you their word that they're doing the best that they can
with these supplements. So you can trust True Nutrition. They're awesome products, tons of flavors. There's a flavor for everyone. And if you use our code ADVICES, that will get you a discount and it will help to flat out. It'll help to support us. So, all right, guys, appreciate you listening. Appreciate you watching over at the YouTube. Let's get back to it.
So, if you were to give advice to anybody out there that was trying to become successful in personal training, I mean, I feel like just listening to the road that you've taken is a lot of great advice in itself. But what would you directly say to someone out there right now that, you know, it's the new year. There's a lot of people out there looking for clients. I'm sure there's a lot of people considering personal training at this time. What would you say to these people that are looking to get into this business?
Well, just like anything, you're trying to run a business, as a, you know, the things I touched upon before, which are important, is, you know, you gotta first and foremost take care of yourself, you know, and you are a walking billboard. And, and granted, I know that there's tons of trainers out there that look amazing that don't know shit up here. But that's where you also need to sharpen your mind and stay on top of, you know, what's new and what's hip and what really works, and stick to your guns as well. You know, I mean, when you're learning different types of training styles, like, example, you might see the hot thing right now would be, let's just make up something, Zumba.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to go out there and learn Zumba just to pick up clients, but you should know everything of what they're trying to do, you know, what these techniques are about, you know. So being well-rounded, working on, you know, studying nutrition, that's something that goes along with personal training, you know. A lot of these trainers in the gym, I mean, they're just not in shape. And I tell people all the time, man, like, it's like going to a dentist. You're going to go to a dentist that has, you know, fucked up teeth.
Right,
I'm
right.
I'm not going to go to that. It doesn't make sense. So why would you hire a trainer that, like, looks like he can't even be in shape himself?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of trainers in the gym that are successful, have a lot of clients. I know that your appearance is not everything, but I mean, if you got a guy with a big gut, that's just kind of telling me something, you know.
And it's something you can control too. You know, that's something that you can change, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think discipline that goes along with discipline. I mean, discipline and health. It's not healthy to be overweight and fat, you know?
Yeah, right on. So you had mentioned learn nutrition, and obviously you had to know nutrition, you know, in your line of bodybuilding and everything. But that's something that it's things have kind of segued now, haven't they? Like you had mentioned, now you don't do personal training like you had in the past. You're focusing more on coaching through Physique Inc. I know that you do some work with Dave Kallick as well. You know, he consults with you guys at times on projects. Tell me a little bit about how that transition began to occur.
Yeah, I mean, it started off with just me running my own business for years. And then, you know, when I started training a lot of celebrity clients, you know, a lot of times I started booking two or three different, you know, celebrities at a time. And it's kind of sourced out to me hiring an additional trainer.
Okay.
And kind of like teaching him the ropes and how I like to have things run. And then, like, what really started me expanding the business, believe it or not, was the introduction of the Men's Physique category back in, what was that, like 2005 or 6? I can't remember what year. No, maybe a little later.
Yeah, maybe like 8, 9, 9, yeah, maybe 10, maybe.
Nine. Yeah. You know, I saw that come in the very first year. And, you know, I paired up with a former judge out here, an NPC judge. And he was like a first generation Men's Physique competitor.
Okay.
And we just kind of saw how that wave was going to really pick up. And, you know, we just kind of like decided, let's kind of form something that's going to really attract that type of clientele, you know, because it was just a different breed. You know, I don't know how you want to put it, but we all know what I'm talking about. The Men's Physique guys are a little bit different when it comes to the sport. The sport has changed. It's evolved into it. And I think a lot of it with bodybuilders, they kind of want to be associated with, you know, a group of people. And even though we all know that bodybuilding, it's still an individual sport in a sense. You know, with us, it's not really about the team. Like, you're coming and sourcing out information from a group of coaches that have been there, done that, that have 20 plus years experience each when it comes to competitive bodybuilding. So, you know, if there's any questions about getting ready for a show or how to get in shape, every one of us has done it.
Yeah.
And we still do it, you know?
Absolutely.
So, and I started sourcing coaches like Dave Kalick, he's been my coach since my pro debut in 2009. James Juge, who was my coach, when I won the USAs. You know, obviously these are guys that I've worked with, so I know what they're about and they've taught me. So, you know, and I still use a lot of their stuff, their techniques, and we are kind of blended in together. And we have other coaches, Ryan Camacho, who is my training partner. So he knows everything I do. He knows how I train. He knows all my diet and whatnot. And we've got several other coaches. So all experienced guys. And then when we take on a client, it's never just like a one-on-one thing. It's, you know, if there's something I don't know, Dave always jumps in, and it's collaboration. You know, you're hiring a coach from Physique Inc., but you're hiring us together. So that's like the camaraderie that you're going to get with Physique Inc. It's not about just showing up to a show and we're all clicky together, like we're like some type of cult gang, whatever. That's definitely right. Not what we're about. You know, this is primarily for business aspects. If you're hiring a bunch of coaches, the most experience in the industry for sure.
I love that. That's a great idea, man. And we've talked a lot to Dave, you know, about the work that you guys do. And he's told me personally, he said, one of the aspects where he said you really shine is in posing. Tell me a little bit about your passion for posing. Cause he said you could do a lot of really great work with people in that department, especially.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just something like, you know, my very first coach, my first trainer was a guy named Scott Marshall. He's an old school bodybuilder. You know, and he just kind of drove it into my mind how important, you know, your posing was. And, you know, I was never going to be the biggest guy, you know, from the beginning, from the start of the shows that I've competed in. So, you know, with that being said, because I knew I didn't have the best genetics to be big.
Yeah.
You know, I learned early on that if you knew how to pose, you can really squash guys on stage that didn't know how to pose, even though they were bigger than you. You know, so that just kind of became the biggest weapon for me in my game is knowing how to present myself to make myself look bigger than I really am.
That makes total sense, man. Yeah.
You know, I like to say bodybuilding is kind of like the sport of illusion. You know, we can, you know, I might only be like 185 pounds, but I can make myself look like I'm 220 pounds.
Right.
You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's something that I've kind of worked on over the years and working with, you know, amazing posers themselves, like Chris Cormier, you know, and like, again, just having kind of a passion for it and wanting to, you know, present myself well on stage. And again, knowing that posing is going to be my strongest weapon, I just kind of honed in on it. And for me with posing, I don't know. I just kind of feel like I have a knack for really teaching people how to pose as well. Hmm. You know, for some reason I can teach someone how to pose. I feel like even better than I can even do the pose myself.
Really? So, okay.
It's kind of, it's just like, you know, I can look at a body type and see where, you know, you're lacking in certain areas, where you need to fix certain areas and make yourself look bigger or more aesthetic. So yeah, that's kind of like, that's what Dave's referring to.
Yeah. And it is definitely an art, and part of that is communication too. I have a feeling, you know what, Stan, I feel like a big aspect of you as a business person has probably been your communication skills, be it in coaching now, being in personal training in the past, that it, in order to get somebody to make, to move their body in the way that you want to get them adjusted, it takes a certain brand of being able to explain things to them.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that has to do also with not just having amazing coaches from bodybuilding, but also from my martial arts background. I've always had, you know, been a part of amazing schools and had amazing senseis that were just, you know, great instructors. So I kind of like picked up a lot of that from my childhood.
Right on. Did I hear you guys are working with Danny Hester?
Yeah, Danny Hester. Yeah, he's been with us since we started, you know. And again, you know, Danny Hester was, you know, the very first classic physique Mr. Olympia. So he's been an affiliate of ours, and he's worked with us for quite a few years. And he's been like kind of like an idol of mine. Actually, you know, sorry, but my kids are just pulling up right here. I don't know if you can see them. What's up, guys? Hi. Hi, guys. I'm on interview.
That's great.
So yeah, Danny lives here in Southern California, fairly close to me. And, you know, when he won that year, he asked me to kind of help him out and kind of like be in his head and give him all the tangible things about, you know, the extra things that either he didn't know or that a lot of bodybuilders don't even know, not just the dieting aspect, or not just the training, but all the other things of how to stay, keep your mind straight when, you know, going into these, a big show like the Olympia.
That's cool. I never knew that previously, up until recently. I didn't know that you had worked with him. I thought he looked fantastic, you know, these past several years too. I will say I saw him at Meet the Olympians this past year, and I was walking through there with Dave Kalik, and I didn't realize that you had any kind of affiliation with Danny. Dave just walked up to him, and I'll never forget that. It was just this look Dave had in his eyes and the way he spoke. And he said, "Danny," he said, "take it back." And it was just like, it kind of put chills down my spine. The way Dave said that, I felt like if he was saying that to me, I would go on stage with like everything I had. It was just his tone. I can't quite explain it, but it was a really cool moment. He just looked down and he said, "Danny, take it back." Right. It was cool. It was really a cool moment. That's cool. Anybody else that I would know that you're working with?
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows Breon. Breon's been, you know, a supporter of us. His coach was Brandon Jurdis, who was one of the coaches that I've, you know, helped out since his start. Have you met Brandon before?
No, I haven't. No.
Yeah. Brandon is Breon's dietitian, nutritionist, however you want to call it. Okay. He's come way behind the scenes, you know, even though Cormier is kind of like his mentor, but Brandon does all the nutrition. And when it came to Breon, you know, I helped him towards the end with that as well, with his, you know, especially the final phase of drying out and whatnot. So, you know, Breon has always kind of been with us since day one.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. Does he live out there as well?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. He's got one hell of a physique. There's no question about it.
Oh yeah. It's amazing.
So, you know, we kind of covered personal training here. I just, like I said, I wanted to kind of get some tips together and talk to somebody who had some experience with it. And you've got a cool story, man, because it's evolved into, you know, just so much more. It allowed you to support yourself and it sounds live one hell of a comfortable life while you were competing as a pro, and it's transitioned into something even bigger today, man. So I appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us, because this is it definitely is a you know, this is a huge success story, man. I'm sure you're very proud of the life you've created.
Yeah, it went by so fast, you know, not that it went by, I'm still living in the moment, but
I know what you mean.
Feels like, man, you know, like all the work that I put in, but it didn't feel like I was putting in work. I was just kind of like, it was fun, you know, and it just like I half the time I just can't believe I was getting paid to do what I do.
Yeah,
you know, to work out, to train people, and to make the type of money I have, and to live the life that I live here. So just very blessed, and you know, very thankful to bodybuilding for, you know, giving me this career, this wonderful career.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, man, to hang with us today, guys. For another episode of Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio, I'm with Stan McQuay, IFBB Pro. Go to the show notes or the description, and you can find a link there to Physique Inc. And also to Stan's social media. Thanks a lot, Stan. We appreciate your time, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.